نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. واشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. وبعد، خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. We begin by praising Allah. We praise Him, we seek His help, and we ask for His forgiveness, and we take refuge with Allah from the evil of ourselves and from whomsoever Allah guides, there is none to misguide, and whomsoever Allah leaves to go astray, there is none to guide. And I testify that Allah alone is worthy of worship, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his worshipper and his messenger, and most certainly the best of all speech of Allah, and the best way. The best way is the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of all the affairs, of all those matters that have been newly introduced into the deen, and every matter that is newly introduced into the religion, is a bid'ah, an innovation, misguidance. All of the misguidance is going astray, and all going astray is in the fire. Today's lecture has become a bit of a institution with me, rather like another talk I give, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, wisdom, water, life, a few others as well, and this is one of them, reaping the benefits of Ramadan. So I'd like to mention first of all that this talk is borrowed from Ali Tamimi, who is now at this moment incarcerated in the United States of America, having been found guilty in some extraordinary manner of supporting terrorism. Although anyone who knows him, he has always been an outspoken criticism of terrorism. He's been given 100. So Sheikh Ali has been in for many years now, I don't even know how many years. And unfortunately, on top of that, he is being subjected to many types of brutalities. And all of it comes down to because he refused. What did he really refuse to do? He refused to plea bargain. He refused to say he was guilty and get a year or two or 5 years. He refused to do that. That's what they said to him. Just say you're guilty and you know you'll be out in so many years. They just wanted it, something, you know, to show everybody part of our war on terror, and he refused. How can I witness in front of the court, in front of the people, a falsehood? So this is one of the many benefits I have got from him, from his talks, from his lectures, which alhamdulillah still are listened to by many. He's one of those rare individuals who managed to combine the knowledge of the Sharia and the culture of the Muslims with the knowledge of the West and the culture of the West. And I think that is why he is in some ways perceived as a threat, because he is so well acquainted with both of those things. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon him, to speed his release, and that these words that I'm saying, inshallah, he will get rewarded for that, because I've taken it from, you know, he's very nice. You can actually type it on Google, reaping the benefits of Ramadan, and you can actually see what he wrote. But anyway, this is my version of it. I've taken some things out. I'm going to add some things, but the basic structure, the basic idea is his around Ramadan time. So alhamdulillah. So before we start, it's also become a custom of mine, which I notice, alhamdulillah, I notice it's very nice the way the brothers are sitting close here in the masjid, but still not close enough, because there's like big gaps over here. And there's still people thinking the radiators and the walls need support. I don't think they need, they're very well built. Okay, you've got a kid lying there, no problem. Strong and young, please move forward. The walls do not need your support, especially you guys over there. Okay, and let's all move up really close. You know, I'm reading a book right now, it's a non-Muslim book. Come on guys, squeeze up, come on. I'll tell you why this is so important. I mean, this is important because the Prophet ﷺ, this is what he told us to do. This is how his companions used to be. And I have been saying for them, is that there is a connection between the way you behave on the outside and the way you are on the inside. Now that's a fact I knew from studying the Qur'an and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. However, I was just reading a book and really I came across this section. I had to put the book down and go subhanAllah for about 5 minutes of research. And the piece of research was they played a lecture, an interview on the radio about a debate or a discussion as to whether they should raise the school fees in a university from $385 to $600. And they got students from the university to listen to this lecture, but they got them to do some other things. They got one group of, this was to check that the headphones were working. Right? So they got someone to shake their heads like this. They got another group to shake their heads like that. Okay? And they got them to do some other things as well. The research that they found, what they found out after all of this, now what do you think? Amazingly, the people who shook their heads like this, they disagreed with the fees being raised, want their fees to be raised. The amazing thing is, the ones who got to shake their heads like this, even though they were students in that university, agreed that it was a good idea to raise the fees. So what they discovered from this was that actually the actions that you make actually influence the way you think. And that's what I've been saying for years. Not that I'm a genius, it's there if you study the religion. Our religion taught us this 1,000 saying. If we sit close together, we feel close together. This is the connection. When you stand in your prayer and you are still in your prayer. If you are fiddling around, your mind is going to be fiddling around. Now maybe you will come in here thinking about your job, your wife, your kids, your this, your that, the everything, right? But if you force yourself to be still and to stand still and to focus and focus, this is the connection between the outward and with the inward. This is one of the big secrets in Islam. And so if we look at all of our acts of worship, including Ramadan, we will see how there is this connection between the outer and the inner. Okay? So this is something very, very important. Now, how are we going to reap the benefits of Ramadan? What we talk about is acquiring taqwa. This, of course, is based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you, as it was prescribed for those who came before you, acquire taqwa. So, although there are many other benefits of Ramadan and fasting, which we are going to talk about, the primary benefits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in the Qur'an, is that you will acquire taqwa. Now, let us think about an example. You go shopping. Yeah? When you go shopping, you get, it's really useful to get one of these little things. Has anyone got one of these? It's really useful, you see. A pound coin substitute. Don't ever get to the supermarket and it's like, oh my god, I haven't got a pound coin. I have to go to the desk and this and that. These are really useful. Anyway, just to let you know, it's nothing to do with Islam, you know. Alhamdulillah. Okay, but there you go. But you put your pound coin in the trolley, you walk in the supermarket. Now you tell me. You go in the supermarket with an empty trolley you get from the supermarket. Not a trick question, don't worry. It's not a trick question. You went in the supermarket with an empty trolley and you came out of the supermarket with an empty trolley. What did you get from the supermarket?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay? Let's say that. Nothing. Come on, nothing. Well done, you see? Okay, nothing. Now, is that what we want? Do we want nothing? Huh? With this much taqwa? Okay, you come into Ramadan, let's say, we can't measure it, but this is your taqwa. But you can make a measurement, you can. You can make an assessment. Tonight, this night, these days, before Ramadan, sit down. Look at yourself. Okay, how are my prayers? Do I pray regularly? Do I pray my prayers in time? Do I pray them in the masjid? Do I say my sunnah prayers? How I pray? Make an assessment. Look at your manners. Look at your adab. Look at your akhlaq. Look at your behavior. Look at your sadaqah. Look at your charity. Look at the way you live. Make an assessment of your life. Assess yourself. You see, that's what you can do. So you can make an assessment. How much Quran do you read every day? How much dhikr do you make? Do you make the dua in the morning, in the evening, sometimes, half a time, now and then? Recite. You can go on and on. Make an assessment of yourself. You will get some idea of your taqwa, of your level of iman. Where is your Islam at this stage? Because that's what you're going into Ramadan with. Right? So Ramadan is gonna start. Okay? And you're gonna go in with a certain level. Now what you want to look for, okay, what you want to look for, if my level is the same before and after, so I came in like this and I came out like that, what did I get from Ramadan? What did I get?
Nothing.
You got nothing. But it's supposed to, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. You're supposed to acquire taqwa. In other words, Ramadan should, by all rights, have an effect on you. It may not metamorphosize, okay, into Mr. Imam, Super Imam or something like that. But you at least should be better. You should read a bit more Quran, you should be saying a few more prayers, your manner should be better. Something about you should improve your taqwa, your mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your obedience to the, because this is what taqwa is. Taqwa is that quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life. You avoid the haram. Taqwa is what makes you avoid the haram things. Just like if you are walking in the countryside and you came across a path full of thorns, you'd walk through that path carefully, wouldn't you? You'd be careful, especially if you had some nice Nike pants and some Adidas shirt and my trainers, oh, I don't want to miss my trainers, oh, you know, you'd be like mincing it through just to make sure that you didn't get anything ripped up, right? You'd be, a person with taqwa is so careful not to do anything that is going to harm their iman. Okay, and it is like a shield that protects them from Allah's anger. This is taqwa. This is what you want. This is what you're going to get from Ramadan. This is what you're acquiring. This is what it is all about. So how does Ramadan give you taqwa? That's what we're going to be exploring. What does it do? What is going on in Ramadan? This is. Because you want to look out for it. You want to be reaping the benefits. Because that's what it is. It's like a beautiful wind. It's like an opportunity. You know, like those days when they had sailing ships and they would wait for the winds. You know, there's certain places The wind goes this way, and then suddenly it changes and it goes the other way. They need that wind, because that's the wind that carries them, so that they can go here and trade and do those things. They wait. They can get what they need. So this is a Ramadan. It is something where we can harvest so much benefit. We can reap so much reward. Because what is it, my brothers, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is it that He is going to weigh up for us on the Day of Judgment? On Yawm al-Qiyamah, what is Allah going to weigh up for us in our scales? What is it? Our deeds. Our good deeds and our bad deeds. What is Allah going to weigh? The scale of deeds is heavy with good. هُوَ فِي عِيشَةِ الْرَاضِيَةِ He will have a beautiful life, relaxing, nice life. But those people whose deeds, their evil deeds, outweigh their good deeds, they will have the punishment of the hellfire. So what is it that we want from this life? Why are we here? We're here to harvest the deeds. And on Ramadan, this is like the truth. So now we have to take our opportunity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has made it easy for us. Because He has chained the shayateen. The devils who are always trying to misguide us. Who are always trying to confuse us. The shaitan who has sworn, our sworn enemy. Whose reason of being, I was going to say, raison d'être, but putting the French down. Yeah. Shaitan's existence is just to take you and me with him to hellfire. That's all he wants to do. But this month, he's going to be chained up. He's going to be chained. And his soldiers are going to be chained. Now some scholars, they discuss this. What does chained mean? Does it mean they have no influence? Because some people still say, well, we still feel the influence of shaitan. There's two answers to this. One sheikh, he said, I heard him say, you could say, no, he is chained and he has no influence over you in Ramadan, but it is like a spinning top. You know, it's not that you hit it once and it just goes round once and then falls, right? Once you have the momentum, meaning once you're used to doing sins, it becomes a type of momentum in you, it becomes a type of habit. So it's not like Ramadan is going to start and it's all going to go, right? If you're used to swearing, you're used to sinning, it's going to just go away because Ramadan is here, right? If you're not used to saying your prayers 5 times a day, if you're used to not praying regularly, it's a major sin, it's not just going to go away because you've got the habit. It's become something unfortunately ingrained in you. That's why when Ramadan comes, it keeps happening. So that's one explanation why you still get this type of, people are still disturbed in the Ramadan. The other explanation is that chain does not mean it can still jump out and go boo at you. It just means he's going to not be able to bite you or bark at you, but he can't bite you, right? Okay, meaning he's restrained. So this is two, you know, interpretations. But the point being is that alhamdulillah, Allah is making it easy for us to obey Him. The gates of hellfire are closed and the gates of paradise are opened. Again, meaning the avenues, the ways, they are shut. The ways to obey Allah to His pleasure, to His paradise, they are open. Allah is making it easy for us in this month to gather the fruits, to gather the deeds, to gather what we need in our journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we're all on and we're going to meet our Lord soon. So we don't know, is this the last Ramadan? Is this the last one? Now Ramadan is not easy for everybody. In fact, I am sure, I don't know about here today, but I'm sure, but I reckon they might even have Ramadan blues. It's Ramadan blues. It's just something I invented. Right? It's the other day. I think I had it myself. It was like everyone's getting excited about Ramadan. Why aren't I getting excited about Ramadan? It's September now. You know, when I first became Muslim 20 years ago, we were fasting in July. So we started fasting 2:30 in the morning. Right, some of you remember that, right? Yeah? You know? Except I was 20 years old, 22 years old. I used to say to brothers, you know, Yahya, I'm really worried. Am I doing something wrong? Because I don't even feel hungry or thirsty. He would laugh at me once. Don't worry, brother. It's okay. You know, you'll feel it later. And it's like, now I'm, what, 43 or something, you know? Like, and it's like September. you know, it's getting longer and longer, it's time to move to Australia now or something, you know. So maybe some of us, seriously, maybe some people, you know, people, not everyone finds faster. There's more reward. You find it harder, there's more ajr for you. And I think that if you find it harder, then you'll get more benefit. You'll feel the benefit of Ramadan even more. So don't be down, don't be sad. Ramadan is going to come once you start fasting. And once you start, mashallah, being with the brothers, and alhamdulillah, you feel the benefit of it. Okay? So this is our time, this is our opportunity to reap the benefit. Now the people who benefited them too much are the ones they already started preparing for Ramadan in this month. They're not going to wait until the 12th or the 13th or whatever day. They're not going to start, they've already started doing a bit of fasting. In fact, they're probably doing it all year. Mondays and Thursdays, or the white days when the moon is full. These are sunnah days to fast, or especially in this month, they're doing some fasts because they're preparing themselves. They're getting themselves ready for Ramadan. You know, if you want to run a marathon, what do? Just, you know, let's say you put your tracks on the day, you know, the day, so yeah, you're going to make it, you know, maybe, you know, you train and last, you know, the good people, they start, you know, the clever people, they start training, you know, they're getting themselves ready because they want to get the benefits. It's a bit late to do that, but you know, next year, inshallah, Allah gives us life. We don't know. Okay? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it easy for us to benefit from the God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it easy for us. So this is one very important benefit that we are going to gain taqwa, inshallah. This is what we want. So we want to make sure, brothers, that we come out of this month on a better level than when we came in. Don't make the day that you fast like the day that you don't fast. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So the days of Ramadan should not be like other days. You should make sure that you do something more. Whether you read a bit more Quran than what you normally read. Every day that you don't make the day that you fast like the day that you don't fast. This is a big mistake. They are not the same. And I don't just mean, of course, by virtue of fasting you're doing something different. But no, even more than that, you should make it special in terms of some ibadah. This is what the Prophet ﷺ told us. So take care of this advice of Rasulullah ﷺ, is that it is a time to draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a great time to draw closer to Allah. Because in many respects the benefit of the deeds and the reward of the deeds is increased. It is a very good time to make Umrah, for example. If you can make Umrah, brothers, if you can make Umrah in Ramadan, I really recommend it. It is the most amazing experience to be in the Haram, in the last nights. You know, it is one of the most incredible experiences. Okay, I have to say that in some ways it is even almost as amazing as Hajj. And Hajj is amazing, but Umrah in Ramadan, I've only done it once, but it's fantastic. So if you can, it's a very, very good time to make Umrah. Okay? And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that easy for us to visit His house. A sheikh told me this hadith because I was telling him, I'm feeling a bit down. He said, you should go and make Umrah. If you're feeling a bit down and your iman is down, there is a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's a hadith Qudsi. I don't remember it exactly, but it is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that Allah has deprived the person who is fit in their body, and Allah has given them wealth, and he doesn't visit my house once every 5 years. So the person, Allah's house every 5 years, they have been deprived. So brothers, you have health and you have wealth, don't fail to visit the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every 5 years. And what better time to make Umrah than in Ramadan? If you can't make Umrah, try to make also i'tikaf. Okay, there is a strange opinion. I say strange because it is not strange in the sense that it is not only in the three mosques. However, this is not held by many ulama. The vast majority say that i'tikaf is in any mosque. So if you can make i'tikaf for some days, or for the last 7 days, or the last 10 days, better the last 10 days, especially, you know, this is a very, very good thing, a good time for you to spend in the masjid, to spend a lot more time doing ibadah and drawing closer to things. Our sins, it is our sins that put a distance between us and Allah. That's what makes a distance between us and Allah, our sins. And if we are distant from Allah, this is really the greatest calamity in our life. The people who are closest to Allah, they are the happiest people. I don't mean in the sense that they have deep contentment, deep happiness. They are the types of people, those people who truly know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that whatever situation they are in, whatever predicament they find themselves, they are content with that. And they are drawing close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through that. Because it doesn't make any difference to them, because their paradise is not here in driving a nice car at their heart. That's where it is. It's that connection they have with their Lord. So if you have that, then surely you are the wealthiest and the best off of all the people. And what does it benefit you? If you have so many possessions and so many kids and so many whatever it is that you think is nice from this dunya, but inside you are not happy. So what good is it? Of what benefit is it? What really have you achieved? This is why the true wealth is contentment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from knowing Him and worshipping Him and being far away from disobedience to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ramadan is this opportunity. So that's point number two. Two, great to come closeness to Allah, and also by reading the Quran. Ramadan, of course, is the month of the Quran. It is the month in which the Quran was revealed. It is the month in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is a sunnah that he read the whole Quran. You can't do that. But the sunnah isn't for the imam to read the Quran. It's for you to read the Quran. To read it yourself. Okay? First of all, in Arabic. The Quran is only the Quran in Arabic. Reading an English translation of the Quran is not reading the Quran. If you don't know Arabic or you find it difficult, don't be in despair. Because the reward of a person who finds it hard is twice that. The more you struggle, the more reward. So don't be put off just because you find Arabic. If you don't know Arabic, learn Arabic. It is so, one of the things about Arabic, it is an easy language to learn to read. I won't say about speaking it. I've been trying to learn to speak Arabic, okay, for 20 years. Okay, and I'm still going to keep trying. Allah help me. Allah help all of us to learn the language of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Arabic. But to read is so easy. I tell kids, you know what? It's easier to read Arabic than... What a weird language, right? I mean, bold. Bold. T-H-O-U-G-H. Like really, right? If you really read it like it's written, you. Okay? What's it called? J, what's it called? J to you? What's, yeah. What? Yeah. Huh? J for you. Y, yeah. J for Y. But Y, U is not you, it's Y-O-U. Ya-O-U. Right? Every letter has a sound. All you have to do is link the sounds up together. That's it. It's like music. It's simple. Okay. Saying Ayn takes like 3 weeks of practice, okay, and Saad and a few things we don't have in English. But really, it's easy. You can learn to read Arabic easily. It's so easy. Okay? So read that, because the Quran, really it has something. Even if you don't understand, but when this Qari is reciting in a beautiful way, it moves you, your hair stands, you don't know what's the saying, but it is. Even I have heard non-Muslims, I had a friend who used to live in Saudi. He said the most beautiful thing he ever experienced in his life was when he used to sit in the beach in Jeddah during Ramadan. And he would sit for hours listening to the Quran being recited. He said, I never heard of such a beautiful Arabic. He just, you know, this is the effect of it on him. So this is the month of the Quran. But of course the best thing is to read the Quran and to understand it as well. Okay, to read the Quran and to understand it as well. So, because really the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. It's Allah talking to you. Don't you wouldn't you like Allah to talk to you? When He's talking to us there, in the Qur'an, Allah is talking to us. The speech of the Lord of the heavens and the earth. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And you know the Qur'an is amazing. Sometimes you might be, I really recommend everybody. Everybody, I recommend you just every day. Every day to make sure you read some one page, half a page, three lines, whatever you can manage. You know it will speak to you. You'll be feeling down, you know. And subhanAllah, sometimes that's all it takes. I remember for about 2 weeks I'd be feeling really down and this. I read this verse of the Qur'an and literally it just said everything I needed to hear. And subhanAllah just lifted me. This is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the time in Ramadan to get close to the Qur'an, to remind, to let the words, Allah's words, fill your heart and fill your mind. So this is a good way to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's read the benefit. Imam, for example, he, if you know, now some masajid, they actually do this. They say, well, tonight we're going to be reciting from here to there. Okay? So it's actually what you could do is the day before or the same day in the morning maybe, you could read the English. Because one of the hard things, I think, maybe, is in Taraweeh, right, is just standing there and, you know, something's been recited, makes it a lot harder to concentrate. So now if you can actually, you know, read beforehand and have some idea, sometimes if you just know a few words, you'll know, oh yeah, this is this and this is, it helps you to connect to what the Imam is saying in the prayer, and you will feel the benefit of the Taraweeh so much more. So these are little things you can do to really, you know, get something out of Ramadan. See, because brothers, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, there are some people is hunger and thirst. And there are some people, all they get from their prayers is that they get tired. And he's talking about the Ramadan. I mean, they get no bent, they just get hungry and thirsty and they get tired. That's all it does for them. And the Prophet ﷺ is warning us here. Okay? For example, I'm sure you know the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned that a person, their actions, then Allah does not need them to leave eating and drinking. What this means, this hadith, it's not an excuse, oh, you know, I keep swearing so I'm not going to fast or something like that. No. You have to fast. Because no one can measure how many swear words makes your fast null and void. It's not a fiqhi issue. It's not something we can measure. We know if you eat and drink, you know, on purpose, well, you know, I don't know if you can do it by mistake, but, you know, if you do it on purpose, right, you know that it breaks your fast. And you're going to have to fast for 60 days. You have to make up that fast plus 60 days, kafara, expiation, right? So we know we can measure that, okay? There's certain things we can measure, but there's other things that we can't. Your manners, we can't measure. Allah can measure it, but it could be. Fasting will not be valid with Allah. It will be as if you didn't fast. Yeah? Backbiting is described in the Qur'an as eating your brother's dead flesh. How can you be fasting and eating the dead flesh of a Muslim? Right? If you are eating a person's flesh, in fact it happened in the time of the Prophet, it actually happened, something I don't remember exactly, and they puked up and bits of flesh came out. It was actually flesh they were consuming. They said, no, we were fasting. They said, no, you weren't fasting. That's the flesh of the people that you are backbiting. This is, of course, a miracle. You see, this is a type of miracle. But the point being, this is a very important point. How are you fasting and you're backbiting? You're making lies about people. You're arguing. You're stealing. You're swearing. How? A real fast. So this is very important. This is why the Prophet ﷺ said, when someone comes to argue with you in Ramadan, when you're, what do you say? You say, I'm fasting. and fasting. And so this is another benefit of Ramadan. It is a very good time to improve your manners. And as the saying goes, manners maketh man. And certainly it is true, manners maketh the Muslim, except to perfect good character. This is in fact the whole of the deen, is to improve our character, to make us people who have noble and lofty characteristics and manners. This is so important, my brother, so important. And it's one of the things that people today, I don't know why, I don't know what for reason, but we don't look at the pursuit of virtue as something worthwhile anymore. It is very sad. Make every effort to imbibe within yourself and within your children and your family the noble and lofty manners and characteristics that are befitting of the believer. And Ramadan is such a good time to do it. So this is one of the benefits that we can reap from the Ramadan. Also, my brothers, patience, sabr, discipline and strong will. These things are very, very closely connected. Sabr has been mentioned, how many times do you think in the Quran? Does anyone know? Sabr has been mentioned? Huh? It's been mentioned more than 70 times, maybe even 90, but more than 70 times. And Allah commanded it. He commanded sabr 19 times. Commanded it. Ali, he said, of iman. Sabr is part of iman. Life is a test. Allah told us in the Quran, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. That Allah created the death and the life to make known which of you are best in conduct. And He is the mighty and He is the forgiving. Life is a test. How will you pass? So sabr is so important. Sabr is an essential quality that every single Muslim needs. And Ramadan, this is the time, brothers. This is the time in Ramadan where we can acquire that, because we are keeping away from eating, from drinking, from intimate relations with our wives. We are restraining ourselves. We are disciplining ourselves. We need to have strong willpower, individually and collectively. So this is another great benefit to take from the month of Ramadan, is acquiring patience and strong will and discipline. The other thing, my brothers, is ikhlas. Ikhlas. There is a hadith where the Prophet said that Allah said, a hadith Qudsi, where Allah said, fasting is for me and I will reward for it. There is nothing like fasting, the acts of ibadah. And the reason is because fasting is one of those things that really has ikhlas in it. No one really knows whether you're fasting or not. Either you can even go, you can shut yourself away, you can drink. Who's going to see? Even if someone says, they say, but you're fasting, oh yeah, I forgot. You know, who knows? You're fasting or you're not fasting. So this is why it is something that is really special, and it helps to teach us ikhlas. Ikhlas means deed. In order for it to be acceptable to Allah, has to have ikhlas. 100% sincerity. You do it for somebody else, Allah doesn't accept it. If our deeds are not sincere, they will be of no use to us. So it is so important. And Ramadan, again, is this time to help us acquire ikhlas. Okay, the next point is, you can change. It is so important. You know, people, I hear it all the time. That's just the way I am. Yeah? I'm just like that. I just don't like reading. I'm just like that. I just don't like reading. And you just don't like reading. I just don't like reading. No, I prefer to watch things on video and listen to things and this and that. I don't like. Didn't Allah say, what did Allah say? Iqra. Iqra. The first word of the Quran revealed to the Prophet. Iqra. Read. Through the pen, Allah taught man what he didn't know. Not through the video, the DVD, the YouTube. I'm not saying don't watch those things and listen to those things, but really you have to read. You have to read. I don't ever want to hear from some Muslim, I don't think. Learn to love it. If you love Allah, you'll love it. If you love Allah, you'll learn to love it. I didn't like dates before I became Muslim. Check that out. I didn't like dates. Now I love dates. I love them. Give me dates. Please. Before it's like, ooh, dates, you know, what's that? SubhanAllah, really, that's it. You know? Before I used to love bacon butties. Now if I smell bacon, I want to puke slam. You see, when you love Allah, when you love the deen, that's it. It changes you. You can change, brothers. You can change. And Ramadan teaches you that. You know what? You're a smoker. Is anyone still... I don't want an answer, please. Alright? But I still can't believe people still smoke. I mean, you know, you get the packet says, this will kill you! You know? You will die if you open up. Don't smoke! You're going to die if you smoke these things! And there's still some people say, it's makruh. MashaAllah. Yeah, I say, brother, let me ask you a question. Is it halal to poison yourself? You know, sit there and drink poison. Is that, are you allowed to do that?
No.
Isn't that committing suicide? Isn't suicide haram? So let me ask you, does it make any difference if you drink a cup of poison in one go, or you drink a little bit every day? Huh? Same. So say it is haram. Allah will ask you on the Day of Judgment about your health. You will not move from your place in front of your Lord. Your feet will not move from your place in front of your Lord until Allah asks you about five things. And one of those things is your health and how you care for it. Okay? And that goes for people who eat so much that they're unhealthy, right? Who can't be bothered to walk, but they have to drive to the masjid. And they say, no, I'm not sure about this global warming thing, really. You know, it's all a conspiracy. I mean, subhanAllah, Muslims saying that type of stuff. It doesn't matter, it's conspiracy or not, right? Is it in our religion to waste? Is it in our religion to be, you know, and the benefit is in walking to the mosque. It's not in driving, it's in walking. Because even one Sahaba, they said to him, he used to live in a distance, I want to get the reward. Because he understood the reward was in the walking. The Prophet said, every step you take, not every wheel that turns in your car, and every carbon dioxide you spew into the atmosphere, and every bit of petrol you burn, you get rewarded for that. Okay, not for coming to the masjid. Okay? I don't know how he got into that, but Qadr Allah, it's one of those things, you know, that's what you get when you listen to Abu. So all they're talking about now, you can change. Okay, now in a good way. Okay, in Ramadan, if you can stop smoking. I used to smoke, so I know. In fact, you know how I stopped smoking? I started fasting. That was simple. I figured out for myself, I didn't see anywhere in the Quran smoking is haram. I just sat down and thought about it. I thought about it long and hard. I said, this is, how can a Muslim smoke? How? How can you do it? So quick, I'm going to give up. So I said, wallahi, Allah, I swear to you, I take an oath, I'm going to give up. Okay, I lasted 2 days. 3 days. So I fasted for 3 days. I did this about 3 times, and after that, alhamdulillah, I've given up. You get this? Now, in Ramadan, you're going to stop smoking from what now? 5:30 in the morning to 6:30 at night. If you cannot have a cigarette that whole time, you have given up. You've given up, that's it. You can do it. You can change. And that money you need for 75. Huh? Five? Oh my God. Seriously. You could feed a village in some places for that amount of money. Seriously, it's not a joke. And you're killing yourself? You can change. You can stop stealing, you can stop lying, you can stop swearing, you can change, you can do it. Ramadan teaches you that you can do it. Alhamdulillah. And you can read as well. You can do it. And you can enjoy it. You'll love it, inshallah. Okay, the next thing. Two more things only. The next thing is charity. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most generous of people. Was like a, but in Ramadan he was like a cool breeze. He used to give so much. But in Ramadan he would give even more. So this is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's the minimum that you have to give, which is the zakat al-fitr, which should be given in food, or at least given to someone who is going to get it in food. Okay? And give it to someone, the food, to someone who needs it. I don't think it's right, you know, that you give people money as a zakat al-fitr. I mean, you can give it to someone who is going to make it into food and give it to the people. Okay? Allahu a'lam. Okay? But that's the minimum. But don't lose because of charity. You don't lose. This is shaitan. He threatens you with poverty. He makes you think, you know, I'm gonna lose, I give it. No. Alhamdulillah, charity only will increase your wealth. And that's one of our, unfortunately, that the Muslims in Britain, we do not have a good charity ethic. We don't. The best people are Arabs, the Gulf Arabs. Whatever you want to say about them, whatever you want to say about them, they give. They give and they are, so it's in their blood. Okay? They love giving. They love it. Alhamdulillah, most of them. It's something, you don't find it. Okay? In other places, in America for example, because it's the culture of American people, Muslim or not Muslim, their culture is to give charity. I don't know about us, we're a bit stingy basically. So we have to, you know, it's not good to be bakhil, you know. Give charity, and it's a good time to change yourself about that. So benefit from giving the sadaqah, okay, and it's something that really helps to extinguish the fire. And finally, brothers, very important thing, unity. Isn't that one of the beautiful things about Ramadan? Well, you know, there are a few things we really do get when we sit down and break fast together, and how we feel the love between each other. Don't we feel that? We're all packed up here, and even though we're all sweating from head to toe, you know, but you know what? Alhamdulillah, you get the feeling of brotherhood because we're all close. Okay, and we know we're all fasting, all the Muslims, all around the world. We're feeling hungry together, we're feeling thirsty together, we're standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listening to His book. Alhamdulillah, that's the feeling, you know, you can't help but feel that people follow different Eids. Okay, don't make a big thing about it. You know what? It's sad. But don't go on Earth to hear the Eids. Did you see that? How many moons there are on? When are we going to hear the end of it? You know what? Chill out. Okay, keep celebrating Eid Mubarak, brother. I'm doing it tomorrow, but Eid Mubarak to you. And Alhamdulillah, you're my Muslim brother. Alhamdulillah, we all love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's wrong with that? Is that a problem? Is that difficult? It's not hard for me. I don't know why it seems to be hard for some people. Okay? You will not believe until you love one another. Yeah. That's what the Prophet said. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Ramadan is a time to feel the love. Is that what we need, brothers? And you know what? And when you feel the love, it's going to spread. You know, it's going to be like a glow. And this is another thing. This is another thing. I read this amazing book that I'm reading. Believe me, it spreads. You smile. See? You ever seen a person yawn and then everyone else starts yawning? Yeah, it spreads. They did this study, amazing study, and that's what they found. It's infectious. So if we love each other, the love will spread. And we smile. You know, the Prophet's eyes, the Muslims' eyes are all half the time looking so grim. So grim. You know, like, I don't want to, if someone died in your family, I don't mean that, but you know, but literally half the time Muslims look like I'm of the Prophet, and they would be tortured, but you know, the Prophet smiled. And no one used to smile as much as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's his sunnah. And that's what I was thinking. I was reading this book and I think, subhanAllah, the smile of the Prophet made the world happy. I bet it spread across the world. You find people all over the world smiling because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled. That's what it's got to be. Smile. Be happy. Even if you're not happy, smile. It'll make you feel happy inside. So let's love each other, because that's what, be embarrassed. Give your brother a hug. Okay? In fact, maybe we should get up and we'll give each other a big hug. You know, sounds corny, but, you know, alhamdulillah, Ramadan is the time you feel the love. Don't let things spoil it. It's the unity of the Muslims. We need it, brothers. Okay? We need to be united. We are the people who've got to spread the good and the loveliness and the happiness in this planet. Who else is going to do it if it's not us? Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi.